Hello again. It's been nearly a year since my last episode of this podcast, Literary Lockdown. It's still called that, although we haven't really been in any other lockdown since then, thank goodness. And on that episode, I said I didn't have COVID, I just had a scratchy throat or just had a bit of a cough or whatever. But actually, a couple of days after that, I found out I did have COVID and my household were a bit unwell. But we were fine in the end. A lot's happened since then, but I wanted to get this going again. I had an idea. I was just driving home in the car from school, from work, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be great to take a trip down memory lane and do some indie classics? Now, I know before I said that I might do R&B noughties classics, but I think that's season three, and then who knows where we go from there. But where I grew up, there was a nightclub called the Manor Club, which many people went to underage, drinking double vodka Red Bulls for £2 or £2.50, whatever it was. And we used to go every Friday straight from sixth form, pretty much. We'd go to sixth form. I actually used to work in Iceland, the supermarket as well. So I'd go there for 4 hours, sprint home, put on my best Fred Perry shirt. Or even before I had a couple of good Fred Perrys, I used to put on a shirt with a tie and then a cardigan on, and wear plimsolls and some sort of black skinny jeans or something, which was quite a look. Maybe I'll share an image somehow at some point. But yeah, I don't want to turn this into the Manor Nostalgia podcast. There will be a couple of references to that, maybe. But really, that era of the mid to late noughties, when it was almost cool to be a bit of a grunger or an indie cindy, as Hadouken, the band, put it. And maybe we'll look at their song. But there's so many possibilities with this season. And I'm hoping that, although we're still called Lit Lockdown, I'm hoping we don't have another lockdown. And I wish COVID would go away, to make a reference to the bed that I've got here, which is Cassius by Foles. Now, I probably won't look at this song because it's very repetitive, but it's a good backdrop and a good indie reminder, if you like. Anyway, I'm going to stop that there. Cassius by Foles, I thought was a fitting opening bed. But, you know, there are many options, and I've been sort of thinking carefully about this. What could be the first song that I do in this new season? So last time we did UK rap music, and we finished on I Love You by Dizzy Rascal, which, by the way, has over 1,200 listens. I'm not sure about the analytics, because it says it's been listened to in so many obscure places like the Cayman Islands. I don't know if one of my friends has got a tax haven there or something, and they popped to check everything was all right. Not that you'd have to check and pop and check your virtual funds. But yeah, Guyana and Gambia appeared on there, and Slovakia, just all sorts of places where you think, well, who on earth is listening to my podcast? I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it isn't. Anyway, I want to get on with this because I've been rambling for a little while introducing it. The song that I've decided, and, you know, I thought carefully about this, it's got to be the Arctic Monkeys. It had to be, because I think if you said to me you have to pick one band that sort of epitomises that era, for me it's the Arctic Monkeys. And then there's many tunes I could have chosen there, but I've gone with the classic I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor. So that's what we're going to look at. It's not a very long song, but I suppose I've bolstered this podcast already by rambling on for nearly 5 minutes. So apologies for that. I'm trying to build a new season and, you know, hook in the listener. For those of you who are still with me, we're going to do I Bet That You Look Good on the Dance Floor. And now I've got the video, official video, where there's just sort of these innocent lads from Sheffield on stage. And I'm even going to play the first bit where they talk about not believing the hype. So let's take a little bit of a listen.
We're Arctic Monkeys. This is I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor. Don't believe the hype.
Right, let's pause there. We're just building up to the chorus there. We had that sort of opening verse and pre-chorus, if you like. So we had We're the Arctic Monkeys, Don't Believe the Hype. Sorry about my accent there. I won't keep doing that. That was pretty terrible, actually. Well, Don't Believe the Hype, well, that's quite a humble opening, I suppose. He's acknowledging that this little band of mine's becoming quite popular. But look, let's calm down a bit. We're just a few ordinary lads from Sheffield, and they really built that image well. And you look at Alex Turner now compared to what he was then, in sort of, when was this, 2005 or something, I imagine. I actually probably should look that up. But Alex Turner now doing sort of Tranquility Base, Hotel and Casino, and having his big sort of Elvis-esque quiff, etc. He's a very different performer now. And, you know, people go through those changes. I like the original stuff. And, of course, it's all the nostalgia attached to it. But I didn't really buy into that new album. I gave it a couple of runs. It was okay, but not really for me. Anyway, Don't Believe the Hype. So ignore that media buzz. Ignore that marketing buzz or any rumours. You know, we're nothing special. Maybe saying it ironically, because they absolutely exploded after this track. And explosion is an image that we're looking at in a minute, actually. So the voice starts this poem. And like I've said before, it is a poem. He says, "Stop making the eyes at me. I'll stop making the eyes at you. What it is that surprises me is that I don't really want you to." Now, if you look at this idea, there's a sort of... he's trying to come up with some mutual agreement. He and this woman have clocked each other, if you like, made eye contact across what I imagine is some sort of dance floor or a nightclub or something. And the voice is saying, "Look, we need to stop looking at each other. But actually, I'm kind of enjoying it. I don't really want you to stop that." So immediate mixed emotions. I don't want to get into anything serious at the moment, maybe. I don't want to fall in love or on a night out or something like that. But actually, I'm quite enjoying it. So I don't want you to stop. I'm saying stop, but I don't mean it. And then he goes on to state that your shoulders are frozen. And then we've got the guy on the drums. I can't remember his name, but he's done loads of stuff and produced loads of music as well. Matt something, I think it is. Can't remember. Sorry, my indie knowledge is waning. And cold as the night, he says. He punctuates it with that. "Oh, but you're an explosion. You're dynamite." As a sort of added extra there. The shoulders are frozen image is... I could sort of see that in two ways, really. Is she giving him the cold shoulder? And that phrase means perhaps sort of maybe looking the other way, turning away, and actually was initially interested and now not giving any attention. Or does it mean that the female on the other side of the dance floor is not yet making these moves or perhaps not yet dancing. Interesting, and you know, as an English teacher, we try to get students to look at other perspectives, and that there, I'm more of the latter there. I think her shoulders are frozen, she's not moving yet, but the voice says, "Oh, but you're an explosion," and that becomes a sort of extended metaphor of that idea of dynamite and explosiveness, and we see the why that is in a minute. I like this line here: "Your name isn't Rio, but I don't care for sand." And I think what he's saying there is, look, you're not an exotic girl; you're just a British local girl, perhaps. But I'm happy with that. I don't care for sand, and that's obviously a reference to the Copacabana beach, which is part of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. I don't know any girls called Rio. The only Rio I know is, of course, Ferdinand. But I think he's obviously, you know, as a young, early 20s guy in a band, or he might have written this even in his teens. He's obviously come up with this image like, yeah, how can I depict a local girl? You're not exotic, but that's good for me. I don't want exotic. And after that, it says, "And lighting the fuse..." So we come back to this dynamite idea and explosiveness. "And lighting the fuse might result in a bang, ba-ba-bang-oh." Well, we've got the double entendre of that onomatopoeic word, bang, which we, of course, know is slang for a sexual act as well. And I think he might mean an explosive, fiery relationship or something like that. But I think it also, you know... I think there's that double entendre there of with the sexual undertones. I say undertones, it's quite explicit really, isn't it? Good. All right, let's move on a bit. We're doing well. Right, that's the chorus then. "I bet that you look good on the dance floor. I don't know if you're looking for romance or I don't know what you're looking for." So there's a sort of almost is the voice challenging this girl, saying it directly to her, "Look, I bet you look good on the dance floor. Come on, get up, show me your moves," sort of thing. Because he wants to see that explosiveness. Because at the moment her shoulders are frozen and he wants to defrost them, I imagine. "I don't know if you're looking for romance or I don't know what you're looking for." We've got that sort of anaphora of "I don't know," and that's a sense of uncertainty. Is she giving off ambiguous vibes, or is he, the voice, not really sure what they want? Do they want just a one-off quick fling, just a quick dance, or do they want this to explode or to grow into something greater? And then we've got this refrain again: "I said, I bet that you look good on the dance floor." So really hammering home that point. "Dancing to electro pop like a robot from 1984 well, from 1984 he says. So, well, that's interesting, isn't it? Electro pop and pop electro music, I imagine, was very popular in the 1980s. I wasn't alive then, but it's an interesting choice of year, because you think of 1984, you think straight away, and well, I do as an English teacher, and I'm sure many of you have anyway as non-teachers of English. But 1984, of course, the famous George Orwell novel, which is all about surveillance, totalitarianism, and I suppose creating replica people that are just going to comply with rules, etc. Now, am I stretching this too far? Probably, but, you know, that's classic English teacher. You know, you see that meme or whatever you want to call it, where it says what the English teacher thinks the author meant and what the author actually meant. So the author writes, "The curtains were blue," and the English teacher says, "Well, of course, the blue curtains are symbolic of the depression of the author," or something like that, when actually what they meant were that the curtains were just blue. But yeah, I think you get my point. 1984, perhaps coincidental, also conveniently rhymes with dance floor and the words for and or. So it, the whole, it's an A-A-A-A-A-A rhyme scheme, this chorus as well, which is interesting. Perhaps a bit robotic in itself. But yeah, 1984, interesting choice. Is he saying that everyone, including the girl he's talking to, all, are all turning into replicas of one another? Are they becoming this sort of clone? Everyone's just the same. Everyone's trying to look cool, but actually in the pursuit of individuality, we are just becoming robots. Or is he just talking about a dance move? Probably the latter, but I thought I'd throw that out there for you anyway. Now, the next sort of verses are very short, and then I'll jump on to the bridge near the end, and we're not going to re-listen to the pre-chorus and the chorus. So the pre-chorus is that shoulders are frozen, that's used again, and I'll bet you look good on the dance floor, of course, being that refrain and chorus. Let's have a listen to the next bit. Right, that's it for that bit, because we're back to frozen shoulders and all that explosive stuff as well. There's not much to say about this bit, but I'll quickly we'll quickly go through it anyway. I wish you'd stop ignoring me. So maybe it is that cold shoulder he's talking about then, linking back to that idea earlier, because it's sending me to despair. Now, despair, it means a complete loss of hope, really, and to be in despair, you know, it's got those sort of Christian ideas of if you're in despair, you've almost lost faith in God, almost, which is, I suppose, becomes a sin. But, again, we're probably stretching that too far. He's just saying, you know, I'm really into you, actually. I'm trying to not be interested. I don't know what I want from this. But actually, you ignoring me now is really almost driving me crazy. Without a sound, yeah, you're calling me, and I don't think it's very fair. That's quite a nice image, isn't it? She has this almost magnetic pull. And, you know, this voice has easily fallen in love across the dance floor. Maybe you've never even spoken a word to this the person that this song or poem is addressing. Anyway, we're going to jump down and just finish off, because there's a nice little, another literary allusion, if you like. It's not really an allusion, it's quite an explicit reference, actually. But there's a final three or four lines that I want us to listen to. So here we go. All right, and there ain't no love, no Montagues or Capulets. Now, I like this sort of. We've got Shakespeare, of course, Montagues and Capulets, the famous feuding families from Romeo and Juliet. That Shakespearean reference mixed with the Sheffield reference, I suppose, that Yorkshire phrase in there ain't no love, and I think what Alex Turner and his band, the Arctic Monkeys, are trying to do, actually, is probably say, look, we're just normal lads and we like normal lasses. You know, it doesn't have to be this Shakespearean romance. I was just thinking, actually, as well, what is Romeo and Juliet ends in tragedy anyway, but the idea is forbidden love. And forbidden love occurs in 1984 as well, actually, between Winston and Julia. So there might be something in that. It might be an absolute coincidence. I'm not going to ring up Alex Turner and ask him. I wouldn't be able to, and I don't think he'd answer anyway. But the point is that I'm trying to make here is, you know, he's saying, look, nothing's going to come of this. There's not going to be this sort of romance. These two young people who died for love in Romeo and Juliet, although albeit tragically and maybe accidentally. But yeah, anyway, he's making references to, you know, I don't want exotic girls. And if you think of the Duran Duran song, her name is Rio and she dances in the sand. That's the idea of an exotic girl. Well, Alex Turner, the poetic voice here, wants the complete opposite to that. And he sort of brings us back down to earth. He goes from Shakespeare, and that juxtaposes the idea of the dirty dance floors. And we've all been in those clubs, and particular clubs like the Manor, sticky dance floors where everyone's spilt their drinks everywhere, throwing fluids around because they've been dancing to Chelsea Dagger at the end of the night or something like that. Although that even used to happen at Amadeus, another Medway club reference. I'll try not to make it so Medway-centric. Just banging tunes. So none of this over-the-top Shakespearean nonsense. Just banging tunes and DJ sets and dirty dance floors and dreams of naughtiness. So we've got this polysynthetic list. Those four things make the night. But I like that sort of abstract idea at the end, the dreams of naughtiness. This is what we'd hope to happen, but nothing really materialises. We don't get that Romeo and Juliet-esque love and passion. So, what have I learned from this song? Well, what I've learned is not every song has to have some deep meaning about, you know, attacking the man or, you know, against bullying and fascism or God knows whatever else. I think these are just some mates who have got together and they're portraying the message like, I enjoy a night out, I enjoy having a good time, and sometimes someone, you catch a girl's eye or they catch your eye and something might materialise, but often nothing does. And it's those near misses that they're perhaps reflecting on there. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed episode one of season two. We're going to call this the indie season, if you like. If you've got any suggestions, let us know. And I'm open to suggestions, but I think they've got to be the big indie tunes. I'm thinking, you know, I hate when they pluralise, you know, football pundits or whatever pluralise things. But, you know, you've got your Arctic Monkeys, which is already a plural. You've got your Libertines, which already ends in that with an S anyway. But you've got your Block Parties, for example. There you go, that one worked. These are the sort of things we'll look at. But we'll see if we've got any suggestions that work as well. Thank you very much. See you next time.